Welcome to Words and Music. This is Will Duchon. This is the hour in which we experience that beautiful and mysterious connection between poetry and music. Thanks for joining me. Poetry and music, like all of the fine arts, offers refuge in times of unrest and conflict. Poetry and music also react and respond to unrest and conflict. And as we'll hear tonight, poetry and music often does both. Through its innate beauty, poetry and music can at once respond to troubled times and provide a healing refuge for the soul. The recent act of violence and racism in Minneapolis has fueled anger and outrage among people of all ethnic backgrounds all across the nation. Old wounds have been reopened, some of which never fully healed, by an act of blatant violence and hatred perpetrated upon a black man. Racism and violence is nothing new, of course. Racism, whether blatant, subtle, institutionalized, or instinctive, is a part of the fabric of our country. Tonight on Words and Music, we'll allow poetry and music to react to an aspect of human nature that we are not proud of. And we'll allow poetry and music to give voice and melody to deep-rooted longings. We'll begin tonight with a poem by Gwendolyn Brooks. This poem was written in the aftermath of the assassination of Martin Luther King Jr. It's titled Riot, a poem in three parts. We'll hear the first part tonight. And this poem begins with a quotation. A riot is the language of the unheard, Martin Luther King Jr. John Cabot, out of Wilma, once a Wycliffe, all white blue rose below his golden hair, wrapped richly in right linen and right wool, almost forgot his Jaguar and Lake Bluff, almost forgot Grand Tully, which is the best thing that ever happened to Scotch, almost forgot the sculpture at the Richard Gray and Distelheim, the kidney pie at Maxim's, the Grenadine de Boeuf at Maison Henri, because the Negroes were coming down the street, because the poor were sweaty and unpretty, not like two dainty Negroes in Winnetka, and they were coming toward him in rough ranks, in seas, in windsweep. They were black and loud, and not detainable, and not discreet. Gross, gross, que tu es grossier. John Cabot itched instantly beneath the nourished white that told his story of glory to the world. Don't let it touch me, the blackness, Lord, he whispered to any handy angel in the sky. But in a thrilling announcement, on it drove and breathed on him and touched him. In that breath, the fume of pigfoot, chitterling and cheap chili, malign, mocked John. And in terrific touch, old averted doubt jerked forward decently, cried, Cabot, John, you are a desperate man, and the desperate die expensively today. John Cabot went down in the smoke and fire and broken glass and blood, and he cried, Lord, forgive these niggers that know not what they do.
Of course, this whole program is dedicated to the memory of Dr. Martin Luther King. You know that. Once upon this planet Earth lived a man of humble birth, preaching love and freedom for his fellow men. He was dreaming of the day peace would come to Earth to stay, and he spread this message all across the land. Turn the other cheek, he'd plead. Love thy neighbor was his creed. Pain, humility. did not dread. With his Bible at his side, from his foes he did not hide. It's hard to think that this great man is dead. Oh yeah. Well, the murders never cease. Are they men or are they beasts? What do they ever hope to gain? Will my country too late for us all? And did Martin Luther King just die in vain? Cause he'd seen the mountaintop. Not stop, always living with the threat of death ahead. Folks, you'd better stop and think, 'cause we're headed for the bridge. He was for equality for all people, you and me. Full of love and goodwill, hate was not his way. He'd seen the mountaintop, and he knew he could not stop. Always living with the threat of death ahead. Folks, you'd better stop and think and feel.
Nina Simone asking the question that we still ask today, why? 52 years ago, that was sung in 1968 in the wake of the assassination of Martin Luther King, and we still ask the question, why? Here on Words and Music, and we come now to the poem that is actually the title of this program, The Lovers of the Poor. It's another poem by Gwendolyn Brooks, and it highlights something that has really come to the forefront in today's society even more than at the time this was composed, the distinction between the haves and the have-nots. The Lovers of the Poor by Gwendolyn Brooks. The lovers of the poor arrive. The ladies from the Ladies' Betterment League arrive in the afternoon, the late lights slanting in diluted gold bars across the boulevard, brag of proud, seamed faces with mercy and murder hinting here, there, interrupting all deep and debonair, the pink paint on the innocence of fear, walk in a gingerly manner up the hall, cutting with knives served by their softest care, served by their love, so barbarously fair. Whose mothers taught you'd better not be cruel, you had better not throw stones upon the wrens. Herein they kiss and coddle and assault anew and dearly in the innocence with which they baffle nature, who are full, sleek, tender clad, fit, 50-ish, aglow, all sweetly abortive, hinting at fat fruit. Judge it high time that 50-ish fingers felt beneath the lovelier planes of enterprise to resurrect, to moisten with milky chill, to be a random hitching post or plush, to be, for wet eyes, random and handy hem. Their guild is giving money to the poor, the worthy poor, the very, very worthy and beautiful poor, perhaps just not too swarthy, perhaps just not too dirty, nor too dim, nor passionate. In truth, what they could wish is something less than derelict or dull. Not staunch enough to stab, though, gaze for gaze. God shield them sharply from the bigger bold, the noxious, needy ones whose battles bald, nonetheless for being voiceless, hits one down. But it's all so bad and entirely too much for them. The stench, the urine, cabbage and dead beans, dead porridges of assorted dusty grains, the old smoke, heavy diapers, and, they're told, something called chitterlings, the darkness, drawn darkness or dirty light, the soil that stirs, the soil that looks the soil of centuries, and for that matter, the general oldness, old wood, old marble, old tile, old, old, old. Not home kind oldness, not Lake Forest, Glencoe. Nothing is sturdy, nothing is majestic. There is no quiet drama, no rubbed glaze, no unkillable infirmity of such a tasteful turn as lately they have left. Glencoe, Lake Forest, and to which their cars must presently restore them. When they're done, with dullards and distortions of this fistic patience of the poor and put upon, they've never seen such a make-do-ness as newspaper rugs before. In this flat, their hostess is gathering up the oozed, the rich rugs of the morning, tattered, the bespattered, readies to spread clean rugs for afternoon. Here is a scene for you. The ladies look in horror behind a substantial citizeness whose trains clank out across her swollen heart, who arms akimbo almost fills a door, all tumbling children, quilts dragged to the floor and tortured thereover, potato peelings, soft-eyed kitten hunched up, haggard, to be hurt. Their league is allotting largesse to the lost. But to put their clean, their pretty money, to put their money collected from delicate rose fingers, tipped with their 100 flawless rose nails, seems they own Spode, Lowestoft, candelabra, mantles, and hostess gowns, and sunburst clocks, turtle soup, Chippendale, red satin hangings, Aubusson's and Hattie Carnegie. They winter in Palm Beach. Cross the water in June, attend, when suitable, the nice Art Institute. Buy the right books in the best bindings. Saunter on Michigan Easter mornings in sun or wind. Oh, squalor! This sick four-story hulk, this fiber with fissures everywhere. Why, what are bringings of loathe love largesse? What shall peril hungers so old, old? What shall flatter the desolate? Tin can, blocked fire escape, and chitterling, and swaggering, seeking youth, and the puzzled wreckage of the middle passage, and urine, and stale shames, and again the porridges of the underslung, and children, 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 heavens. That was a rat, surely, off there in the shadows, long and long-tailed, gray. The ladies from the Ladies' Betterment League agree it will be better to achieve the outer air that rights and steadies, to hie to a house that does not holler, to ring bells else time, better presently to cater to no more possibilities, to get away. Perhaps the money can be posted. Perhaps they too may choose another slum, some serious, sooty, half-unhappy home where loathe love likelier may be invested, keeping their scented bodies in the center of the hall as they walk down the hysterical hall. They allow their lovely skirts to graze no wall, are off at what they manage of a canter, and resuming all the clues of what they were, try to avoid inhaling the laden air. The Lovers of the Poor, Gwendolyn Brooks.
Dirty tough, a pot of your gut. Tune in up, we're gonna talk to your music, chucking. Hey, we're chucking to your music, we're chucking.
Once I built a railroad, made it run, made it race against time. Once I built a railroad, and now it's done. Brother, can you spare a dime? Once I built a tower to the sun, brick and rivet and lime. Once I built a tower, now it's done. Brother, can you spare a dime? In khaki suits, gee, we looked swell, full of that Yankee doodle-dee-dum. Half a million boots went slogging through hell. I was the kid with the drum. Don't you remember, they called me Al, it was Al all the time. Say, don't you remember, I'm your pal, buddy, can you spare Jackie Sue's. Gee, we look swell, full of that Yankee doodle-dee-dum. Half a million boots went slogging through hell. I was the kid with the drum. Say, don't you remember? They called me Al. It was Al all the time. Say, don't you remember? I'm your pal. Brother, can you spare a dime? Buddy, can you spare a
Abby Lincoln singing one of the great anthems of desolation, Brother, Can You Spare a Dime, from her album You Gotta Pay the Band. Before that, from 1974, Bob Marley and the Wailers, Them Belly Full But We Hungry. Here on Words and Music, tonight's program, The Lovers of the Poor, Poetry and Music in Response to Social Unrest. Here's a very powerful poem by Keith S. Wilson. This comes from Field Notes on Ordinary Love, published in 2019 by Copper Canyon Press. It's a poem titled Mob, and it begins with a quotation from the first poem we read tonight, Gwendolyn Brooks' Riot. Here is Mob by Keith S. Wilson. And they were coming toward him in rough ranks, in seas, in wind sweep, they were black and loud. Gwendolyn Brooks' Riot. All day was filled with the floating dead of clouds. Children throwing birds, guns for thumbs and forefingers. My heart is a mine shaft of canaries and shells. My smell is filled with flying. And what a sky this is. The Northern European still lifes depicted so many flowers. Lying on my side, looking, where his eyes might be. The dead teach us that kind of patience. How different the drawings of a people must be who have always had this kind of time. A brief history of rope. Some of us are brown as starvation. Happenstance is the color of our eyes. What happens when you stare into the sun? A crow is born. From here, I think about the image of God. He set jagged stars in the square holes of us. And what are groups of us called? It is an unkindness of ravens, for instance. For instance, a dole, an offering, of doves. We've always been more glorious as a flock. Groups of us are congregations. What is more godlike than peace, other than insurgents? Than quiet, as of the breathing of evening birds, the low warble of our people in the streets. Sometimes a dream is a fist you grow into, but more often a routine, like watering a weed in your stomach. We haven't been made afraid of trees, nor the bottoms of cars, windows, the gavel, the sea. A feather is caught in the rapture of a fence, keeps struggling, can't come to terms, cannot unthink that it's a bird. What gives the ground the right to gravity? No building. I want to widen the eyes of God. Every amendment has followed through against our bodies. Icarus leapt. We will fly, be black together in the sun. Mob by Keith S. Wilson. John Coltrane wrote that music following the bombing of the 16th Street Baptist Church in Birmingham, Alabama, in September of 1963, an event that took the lives of four young girls. That music titled Alabama, here on Words and Music. I have a poem now for you by Evie Shockley, who is a professor of English at Rutgers University. It's titled Anti-Immigration. And I asked Professor Shockley to give a little background on her piece, and she kindly replied with this. I believe the poem came to the surface in the wake of the news that the U.S. government was separating families and holding people of all ages, including children, in cages within facilities at the southern border. But the poem owes its list-like structure to the accumulation of anti-immigration policies and sentiments. The betrayal of DACA youth, the anti-Muslim ban, the desire to wall off Mexico, those just being the most recent instances at the time I was writing. Now we have new COVID-era expressions of it. Given U.S. history, it's all fundamentally illogical. And the poem begins there. Here is Anti-Immigration by Evie Shockley. The black people left and took with them their furious hurricanes and their fire-breathing rap songs, melting the polar ice caps. They left behind the mining jobs, but took that nasty black lung disease and the insurance regulations that loop around everything concerning health and care, giant holes of text that all the coverage falls through. The brown people left and took with them the pesticides collecting like a sheen on the skins of fruit. They went packing, and packed off with them went all the miserable low-paying gigs, the pre-dawn commutes, the children with expensive special needs, and the hard-up public schools that tried to meet them. The brown people left, railroaded into carting off those tests that keep your average bright young student outside the leagues of ivy-lined classrooms, and also hauled off their concentrated campuses, their great expectations, their invasive technology, and the outrageous pay gap between a company's CEO and its not quite full-time workers. They took their fragile endangered pandas and species extinction and got the hell out of Dodge. The black people left and took HIV/AIDS, the rest of their plagues, and all that deviant sexuality with them. They took their beat-down matriarchies and endless teen pregnancies, too. Those monster-sized extended families, the brown people took those. The brown people boxed up their turbans and suspicious sheet-like coverings, their terrifying gun violence, cluster bombs and drones, and took the whole bloody mess with them. They took war and religious browbeating tucked under their robes. They took theocracy and their cruel, unusual punishments right back where they came from. Finally, the white people left, as serenely unburdened as when they arrived, sailing off from Plymouth Rock with nothing in their hands but a recipe for cranberry sauce, a bit of corn seed, and the dream of a better life. There are only certain kinds of people here, after the Exodus, left to wander the underdeveloped wilderness in search of buffalo, tobacco, and potable water, following old migratory patterns that would have been better left alone. That's Anti-Immigration by Evie Shockley.
Thank you. Can you see strength in my eyes? I used to sleep through the night. Then hurricane, there were no lights, no sirens, just guns. It was violent and we had to run or die. I'm
two is running through my mind. Always on the run, am I running out of time? Darkness in my way, I pray that the sun will shine. Started from the bottom and that was underlined by the place that I'm from. Sometime is undivine. I hear them songs of freedom and they running through my mind. Close my eyes, imagine a place next to me where I no longer can be labeled a refugee. Destiny holds somewhere down these dark roads. Yeah, we the lost tribe, but we found our souls. Cold rain, old pain, I left along the way. I fight through the night just to find a stronger day.
Running from the place that I know.
I'm running.
What direction should I go?
I'm running.
So tired and so worn. I won't stop until I'm safe and strong.
Say no.
And flee the place you love.
Say no.
Tough as nails when things got rough.
Say oh.
Many fathers told their sons.
Say oh.
And daughters, don't stop running till you're home.
Say oh.
Refugee song.
Say oh.
Texas to offer up a song and prayer to all the families separated by the wall.
Estoy aquí en Guadalupe, en donde muchas familias han sido separadas por un muro. Enviamos nuestras oraciones.
Tenerte y perderte después.
piensa que tal vez mañana yo ya estaré lejos, muy lejos de ti. Bésame, bésame mucho, como si fuera esta noche la última vez. Bésame, bésame mucho, que tengo miedo a tenerte y perderte después. Quiero tenerte muy cerca, mirarme en tus ojos, verme junto a ti. Piensa que tal vez mañana yo ya estaré lejos, muy lejos de ti. Bésame, bésame mucho, si fuera esta noche la última vez. Bésame, bésame mucho, que tengo miedo a tenerte.
That iconic old Mexican love song, Bésame Mucho, in a very different approach, sung by Paulina Reza with guitarist David Garza. And that song was actually recorded exactly at the border between Mexico and the United States. Paulina faced the Mexican side. David, with his back to her, faced the United States side and recorded Bésame Mucho. Yet some of the lyrics took on new meaning because the song was sung as a protest of separating families at the border. So the words, kiss me many times as if this were our last night together, took on much more poignance. Before that, we heard Gregory Porter and the rapper Common doing a song called Running, which was written for World Refugee Day in 2016, here on Words and Music. We are just about out of time, so I am going to, after all this tumult, turn to a poem that I've turned to many times, not only on the program, but personally, when things just seem to be too much and overwhelming. This is a poem by Wendell Berry, and it's titled The Peace of Wild Things. When despair for the world grows in me and I wake in the night at the least sound, in fear of what my life and my children's lives may be, I go and lie down where the wood drake rests in his beauty on the water and the great heron feeds. I come into the peace of wild things who do not tax their lives with forethought of grief. I come into the presence of still water, and I feel above me the day-blind stars waiting with their light. For a time, I rest in the grace of the world and am free. The peace of wild things. And I wish that peace for you. Let's go out with the only musical setting I'm aware of that poem, sung for you by Crooked Still. My thanks to tonight's poets, Gwendolyn Brooks, Evie Shockley, Keith S. Wilson, and Wendell Berry. And for the music, Abby Lincoln, Bob Marley, John Coltrane, the Joslyn Grove Choral Society, Common, Gregory Porter, the Mormon Tabernacle Choir, Nina Simone, David Garza, and Paulina Reza, and Crooked Still. And until next time, don't forget, stay close to the music. I'll see you next time.
Time I rest in the Christmas world of this world.